This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Security, data movement, and applications.
A recap of ISC Cloud.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for September 28, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
So we also have with us my colleague, Tiffany Trader, editor of HPC in the Cloud. Hey, good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Tiffany. It was great seeing you this week.
It sure was.
Yeah, you guys were both in Europe together. Tiffany, you were in Europe for quite a while. You went to the EGI Globus event in Prague, Czechoslovakia. And then this past week, you were at ISC Cloud in Mannheim. You had quite a long adventure there.
Yeah, it was. It was really great. As you said, I attended both events. The week before last, I was in Prague for the EGI Technical Forum, which was also co-located with Globus Europe. And while this past week, ISC Cloud hosted their annual event in Mannheim. And the first conference was very much laser focused on research with the Helix Nebula project going on, which we'll get into. And then ISC Cloud hosted a range of research and industry partners. It was a packed, very dense program. It attracted a lot of participation from the user community and technology enablers. Intel, HP, IBM Platform were just some of the companies that were there. And our friend Addison was there as well.
Yeah, I like all the ISC events. And ISC Cloud was as you said, a pretty packed agenda with, I thought, some really good topics. I got to give a presentation myself on the intersection of HPC, big data, and cloud based on some of the results from our research study on big data that we have out there now, and some of the overlapping requirements that we're starting to see between the HPC respondents and non-HPC enterprise respondents when it comes to big data.
Okay, so what else did you talk about?
Well, there was that, and I was also the moderator of a very fun vendor showdown panel. We had that game show panel again, and Tiffany, thank you very much for your excellent judging skills. I hope you enjoyed giving points to the panelists based on them actually having to have content in their answers.
That was a lot of fun. That was different from the usual stale vendor presentations. I think you limited that to two slides a piece, right? That must have been.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no more fun way to get through 10 vendor presentations than to make it a competition, winner take all. And so, in the end, Team Donner overtook Team Blitzen at the very end for a come-from-behind victory. It was very exciting.
It was a close win.
Close win. But to me, the rest of the agenda, although there were various topics, we heard from vendors, we heard from users, we heard from the consortia, I felt like there were... Well, you and I were both saying there were kind of a few main trends that came out of it. We heard about security, obviously, quite a bit, but also about data movement and applications in the cloud. Why don't we talk about security first?
Right. So, yeah, that was definitely mentioned as one of the main challenges to HPC in the cloud. And
it has been for a long time. People are worried about security in general for cloud, so it's not surprising that it would come up again in this context.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think it is an important issue? Do you think it's a little overblown? What's your take on that?
It's a hugely important issue, but I think all the talk of protocols is sometimes overplayed in the sense that I get the sense that when people talk about security, it's almost like a proxy for loss of control. I use a fear of flying analogy, right? People will be afraid to fly because they're not in control, and what if there's a plane crash? And showing them more and more data that flying is safer than driving doesn't alleviate their fear.
So that's why getting some use cases out there and vetting this is important. We need to prove the safety of it.
You can prove the safety of it. You can establish the paradigm, make it more commonplace. You know, more people fly, more people will do it. Or, you know, people used to be afraid of having their credit card on the internet, and only part of that was having better security protocols in place. The other part of it was just the idea of people getting used to it, right? You get used to a paradigm, and then you stop worrying about the protocols as much. You feel like it's been taken care of.
Yeah, and I guess there's some legal issues around this too. There was a speaker there on the HPC Cloud Challenges panel, Paolo Balboni from the European Privacy Association. And judging by the audience questions, this topic was particularly engaging. And he was talking about the difficulty of data security in the EU and satisfying the privacy requirements of so many separate countries. And he said that there's really no such thing as 100% compliance. So it basically just comes down to mitigating risks, and but the sanctions can be severe if they don't comply.
Yeah, meeting multinational regulations in something like a cloud, which is in many cases inherently international in nature, especially if you start talking about the cloud, like people talk about the internet or the web, like it's one big thing. You know, then you get into what are the international liability issues, and you can make someone sign a contract or a service level agreement, but it doesn't. As Paolo pointed out, it doesn't necessarily solve all the problems. For if something goes wrong, then how do you unknit that?
Right. And I think we should make the point, or he made the point, that while some have tried to make the EU clouds look like a better alternative to U.S. laws, he said that's not really true, that those are more marketing ploys. And I thought that was a good point.
Yeah, they're marketing ploys, although the other thing that we do get with this is a little bit of history, right? There's a lot of fear around service level agreements and legal agreements, part of it is the unfamiliarity. If there's an outage, who's left holding the bag? Who's liable for what? And those issues are starting to get established as well, so at least there are known quantities in terms of what's my risk.
Right. Speaking of security level agreements and SLAs, Paolo brought up the point that there's a set of initiatives set to launch around privacy level agreements, PLAs.
Privacy level agreements, absolutely. And privacy is just a huge concern for people at the corporate level, at the personal level. I mean, it's in the news today here locally that California has now outlawed colleges and employers from requiring you to give up your Facebook password so they can do personal investigation of you, which I think is a positive step forward. I always thought that was ludicrous that people would require that. So, you know, privacy is just top. I'm just saying that privacy is top of mind for a lot of people.
Yeah. So what other major themes did you get out of this event?
Well, there were themes around data movement. I thought was a major one, and that's actually for HPC a bigger issue than security. And then also applications, which they spent a lot of time on the second day with some of the ISVs there. Why don't we take a quick sponsor break, and then we'll come back and touch on those.
Sounds good.
Mellanox's end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect products, consisting of ConnectX 3 adapter products, the comprehensive SwitchX family of fixed and modular switches, software, and cables, deliver industry-leading performance, scalability, efficiency, and economics for the best return on investment for performance interconnects. Mellanox provides its worldwide customers with the broadest, most advanced, and highest performing end-to-end interconnect solutions for the world's most compute-demanding applications. For more information on Mellanox's end-to-end connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering, visit www.mellanox.com.
So, Addison, yeah, you mentioned the other two big issues that were discussed, data movement and application. Now, data movement, of course, I mean, that's been an issue in HPC, cloud or not, and applications as well. Yeah, specific challenges in cloud, obviously, because of the remoteness and network infrastructure involved. Why don't you talk a little bit about what was being discussed there at the conference?
Well, some of it came up just in terms of this Helix Nebula project, which is big news out of CERN. Tiffany, you had some of that in your write-up of the conference.
Yeah, this was a big deal. This was a really big deal this year at both conferences, at the EGI Technical Forum and at the ISC Cloud event. So Helix Nebula, it's a big project going on right now in the EU, and it brings together three flagship users. There's CERN, and then there's the European Molecular Biology Laboratory, EMBL, and the European Space Agency. And these flagships were basically are huge, and they were picked exactly for that reason, for their scope to prove scalability. And that the project right now is in its 2-year pilot phase.
And the idea is to take their existing grid initiatives, broaden them, federate them into one large science cloud, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Bob Jones of CERN, he brought up the fact that the processing demand for big science is basically limitless.
Well, yeah, that was actually part of my conversation in terms of the difference between HPC and enterprise. Once you solve a problem, it's no longer interesting, and you move on to the next harder problem. But the good news is that HPC, what we see is that we haven't reached the end of science yet. So until we do, then there's always going to be tougher problems to solve.
Right, and the ISV issue came up as well. There were several ISV representatives there. What did you get out of those presentations?
Well, going over to the application side of the conference, during the first day, there was a lot of discussion about, well, what the ISVs need to do is this. And you know, this has even come up as part of Wolfgang Gensch's Uber Cloud experiment.
That's
He's
right.
a contributor to HPC in the Cloud and HPC Wire. He's a huge cloud enthusiast, especially in Europe. He and his partner have been trying to design an experiment to make cloud of greater access or interest to small and medium-sized enterprises, particularly manufacturing. A big part of that is getting applications into the cloud. And, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, well, the ISVs need to do this, the ISVs need to do that. And it kind of bugs me in two ways. One is that assessment of the situation has been that most of the ISVs already offer utility cloud licensing for their products, and they all said as much on the second day. The bigger question that I think needs to be addressed is, what's the business model for them to do that? You know, how are you going to make it profitable for the ISV to run in the cloud? You know, because I don't think anyone's starting from the premise of, I'd like to pay more for my software. They want them to move it into the cloud and then make it cheaper.
Right, the issue of cannibalizing their main market is always brought up, and they're blamed, you know, for the slowness of moving to the cloud. But they do appear willing to move in the right direction. They're all starting to have. I mean, every single person that was there, which we had CD Adapco, Ansys, Simulia, ESI, you know, all the main.
Yep. Well, do they talk, or did they talk about the business model? I mean, from my perspective, it seems like the way to present this is that they will capture new customers if they go to the cloud, and more of them. It's sort of their volume, their volume play, and they can keep some customers with their traditional model, and these may be in addition, or maybe there'll be some cannibalization, but it's a way to expand their business. But do they see it that way, or?
I think there's always that problem of looking at things, you know, either or, and yeah, there will be a mix. Of course, it doesn't have to. It can be either and. And there's currently this sort of chicken and egg problem, with the ISVs pointing to lack of user interest in cloud and the users pointing to the lack of ISV support. So I think that's why events like this are so important, as well as the cloud experiment, which is bringing these key participants and stakeholders to the table to work out these requirements.
Right, that Uber Cloud experiment, with a recent article in HPC Wire, there were 20 20 projects in motion right now. They've got 160 maybe on the table, but there's 20 actually being done at some level in some version of that process. And I think we had a couple of mini case studies actually presented there. I mean, that seems very important to me, if they can actually, you know, start to accumulate those at that sort of rate and get a lot of businesses, large or small, interested in this. That seems like a nice grassroots
right.
way to kind of grow the industry and grow this this model.
It would be a nice way to grow the model. And I think the ISVs have already done a lot of reasonable things in terms of making their software accessible through utility pricing. But, you know, the anger that gets expressed towards ISVs, I look at it, you know, to push a weird metaphor, it'd be like everyone deciding it'd be more efficient if we all ate outside at the park. And, you know, what we really need is for the restaurants to start bringing all their food out and setting it up in a buffet in the park, and then everyone can just pay for what they eat, right? And no one's making, and you say to the restaurant, yeah, and it'll be good because more people can access your food that way. But no one's made a compelling business case to why it's good for the restaurant to do that, right?
Right. Well, that comes back to the chicken and egg problem, because the people at the park have to be there before they go out. And, you know, so somebody has to sort of take that first step, or somebody has to initiate that.
And there was good discussion around that. I'm sorry, Tiffany, go ahead.
That's okay. No, I was just going to say, coming back to that point, that things can be complementary.
They can be complementary, yes, and I think we'll find a model that works. It might not be that you set up a huge picnic table, you know, this for every restaurant to put their food on, and, you know, some kind of honor code thing where you pay for it. But you know, there are different access mechanisms, and I thought that there was good discussion on that second day. As for the data movement, we're going to need to see some. Again, some improvements in how do we get data uploaded into the cloud. Some of the vendors had interesting presentations in terms of moving the data. In fact, Bright Computing's main point of their new product was getting data moved in and ahead of the job.
Yeah, and there was we got to select our birds of a feather session on the fly. And wasn't yep. data movement was the main topic that people wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that was the most popular BOF at the end of day two, was how are we going to optimize data movement in the cloud?
Well, hopefully you guys had some fun there. I know Mannheim isn't like the premier city in Germany, but it sounds like, you know, there was a lot going on there. Hopefully you guys got a little chance to go out and see some stuff outside the conference events, maybe.
Well, you know, the intervening night, what night is that? Monday night, we had a very nice reception at a winery that's the leading producer, or a leading producer, of German dry wine. So it was a really very nice dinner.
Yes, I really enjoyed the Rieslings, as well as Neuwein, which is new wine in German. It was really good, although the Germans told me to be careful. It could be dangerous.
Yeah, this is the Dr. Birkland Wolf Vineyard that's in proximity to Mannheim. So we did have some fun there as well.
Okay. It was actually really, really wonderful. We were treated very well.
A big thanks to the ISC organizers. Conference, well done.
Well, hopefully they'll put it on again next year. Now it looks like Mannheim's the place, but they might switch a course, or they might, we'll see what happens next year. But it sounds like that was a useful conference. And, you know, the cloud component of HPC seems to be getting a little more traction these days. Maybe not so much on the application side, but it seems like there's more and more interest in it that I've seen, at least just over the past 6 months.
That's a good point. I think we're finally past that stage of discussing what is it. We're on to, you know, how to do it and what workloads and applications will work with the cloud. Addison?
Well, you know, we haven't seen spending on cloud really take off yet, going into our most recent surveys this year. We'll keep tracking it, but there are still a lot of those barriers to try to overcome. And another point I made in my presentation was it only takes one showstopper barrier to keep you from doing something, no matter how good the benefits are.
Yeah, that's true, but we are seeing some good use cases. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true, and we'll continue to see some.
And yes, everybody keep reading HPC in the Cloud, because it does seem to be a lot more news around this, and we'll be covering it as we lead up to SC and beyond. So, Tiffany, we hope to have you back on the show real soon and talk a little bit more about this. I know we didn't get a chance to even cover even half of what went on at these shows, and maybe we can elaborate on that and pick up on some of the news and bring
Absolutely.
That in.
I'd love to come back, and if you want more information, come to the site.
Definitely. Okay, well, great. Thanks, everyone, for a great show. It was good to hear that you guys had a good time in Germany, and it was good to hear some of the new stuff going on in the cloud segment right now.
Terrific. Hey, thanks for joining us, Tiffany.
Thank you.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.